Truck Chat Technorama for Thursday, September 29, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractor. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated amulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facet lunar wing shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retrocabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. It's free. Share it. There's no DRM. There's no RIAAAA. I am your host, Woo-hoo! Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Olé. Oh, hey there. How you doing, man?
That was obnoxious. What do you call that?
I'm trying to yodel.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got lots of stuff. We've got online news aggregators. We've got lots of feedback from the listeners. We've got lots of this and that. And before we get into all that, we've got to get some words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings.
On this day in tech history for September 29th. It's September 29th, the 272nd day of the year. There are 93 days remaining. And there is only one more day until the movie Serenity opens in the U.S. I'm going, are you? It was on this day in 1954, convention establishing CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, is signed. And in 1962, Alouette 1, the first Canadian satellite, is launched. NASA resumed space shuttle flights. They were grounded after the Challenger disaster. They resumed on this day in 1988. Super Mario 64, a revolutionary platformer game for the Nintendo 64, is released in the United States on this date in 1996. And in 2004, the asteroid 4179 Tutatis passes within four lunar distances of Earth. On that same day, the Burt Rutan Ansari X Prize entry, Spaceship One, performed a successful spaceflight, thereby halfway to winning the prize. Happy birthday on this date goes out to Adrian van Roomen, the Flemish mathematician, born on this date in 1561. And in 1901, Enrico Fermi, the Italian physicist and Nobel Prize laureate. And finally, a special late mention to Google, who turned 7 years old a couple of days ago on September 27th. And that's the way it was on this date for September 29th.
Don't touch that click wheel.
You're listening to Chuck Chat.
This is Mark Shepard, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck and Craig at Chuck Chat Technorama, the place where 101 is just a way of life.
All right, we are back, and we've got some listener feedback.
Oh, yeah. We always got feedback.
I like the listener feedback. If you'd like to get in touch with us real quickly, we'll do this again at the end of the show in case you forget to write it down now. But it's Chuck at ChuckChat.com or Craig, K-R-E-G, at ChuckChat.com. We also have a list.
That's one G.
One G and one K.
One G. Yes. It's like Greg with a K.
Good way to say it.
But better.
And we've also got a listener line, which we will play a message from, 206-222-CHAT. Easy to remember, 2428. Feedback from Scott Reynolds. We've been talking about SIP, the Session Initiation Protocol. Lets you do voice over IP on the internet. And I need to just...
He's trying to call me out, man.
Yeah. he's a good resource when it comes to SIP because he's done all this stuff like set up Asterisk server at home. He said, be careful.
He's our Technorama nitpicker.
Said, be careful not to confuse SIP phone accounts with Gizmo Project accounts. They both work on the same proxy, but Gizmo Project accounts, inbound/outbound minutes, go through a different, and according to the developers, higher quality service provider.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. That was interesting.
Because I'm a little surprised because if you go to SIPphone.com and it talks about the Gizmo Project is their SIP phone client. So I assumed that it was all going through the same.
Now, which clients have you used? Did you use X-Lite?
Yeah, this is the other thing that he was talking about. I actually downloaded about all of them that I could find, at least the big ones. And I did misspeak, and it's not J-Phone. It was S-J-Phone, which is one that's all right. And that's when I was saying was okay. The X-10 Lite is better, and... I've got the SJ phone one on my pocket PC. They don't have an X Lite on the pocket PC, just on the regular desktop.
Okay.
So anyway, it's pretty good.
He goes on and says, Craig mentioned J phone, but I'm pretty sure he was referring to SJ phone. The free version is okay, but not as user friendly as X Lite. I'm sure the pay version of SJ phone compares to X10's iBeam product, though, which is to say that it's a pretty nice client. And one more thing, Asterisk is open source, cross-platform application. It doesn't require Linux. Wink, wink.
I was surprised with that. I didn't know it was running on something other than just Linux.
Scott's got it running on NetBSD. Would you expect anything less?
Oh, Well, I mean, you're talking about just Unix-based altogether, right? As different platforms?
Yes. That's a good question. I wonder if it runs on a Windows platform.
I don't think so, but that's what I was thinking. When I think if it runs on Linux, it's going to run on FreeBSD and NetBSD and, pretty much anything. Not just Asterisk, but a lot of stuff. So,
thank you, Scott, for the comments. We also have an audio feedback, as I mentioned, from Bruce Barr. Hold on just a sec. Here it comes.
Hey, Chuck, this is Bruce. I flew down to Charlotte today, and I actually had caught the girl's grandfather twice in both shows talking about consternation with modern electronic devices of the slot A, tab B. Very interesting, and bully for him being involved with modern technology much more so than my father. So, I just thought it was very interesting what he was talking about instructions, because that lovely little company, which you probably remember, Chuck, from Benton Harbor, known as Heathkit, used to run their instruction sheets for all their kits that you would build and solder together different things back in the day. Their benchmark for that was if a secretary that worked at the company could follow those step-by-step instructions, they were ready for public for use by the general public. And I think a lot of people with instructions should go for that nowadays. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Bruce. I almost forgot about Heathkit.
Hey, man, he was in Charlotte?
No, he's in Kansas City.
He said he just flew into Charlotte.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Why didn't he call me or email me? Shoot.
Bruce, if you're still there,
if you're still in Charlotte, email me or something.
Stop by, and Craig will buy you a beer.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, I want to give
I pull up to the airport parking lot with a six-pack in the trunk.
I want to give a special shout-out to everybody who's in the chat room. We've got, everybody is Mark, our Uber fan geek of the month. I think he's going to win it again for September. He's going to take the sweep 2 months in a row. And Victor Cahiao, who is super-duper Mr. Expert Trainer audio guy.
He's our audio geek of the week.
He is the audio geek of the week. After the last Technorama, he was kind enough to spend an extra hour or so teaching me how to really get my money's worth out of this mixer. It's a Behringer UB1204 FX Pro, and he taught me how to use the aux sends and all about sub channels. And as a result, we have two sub channels going right now, one back to Craig so he can hear the proper mix, and one out to the webcam stream. We've got a streaming webcam courtesy of camstreams.com. If you go to chuckchat.camstreams.com,
get it right, Chuck.
It'll work for you. So if you can't join us on Wednesday night, maybe you can catch us on Sunday. We'll be doing this again. It's great fun, makes interactive podcasting, if you're around, of course. If you're not, well, then we'll...
you can just hear us talk about it.
You can hear us talk about it, and we'll be there for you always, right in your ear. I also want to give another shout-out to Jorga. Jorga Schrauen is our Geek of the Week. He's proven himself to be quite geeky in that he sent me an email the other day and said, have you ever used SMTP to send an email? And I thought he was talking about the Unix command line mailX parameter, and I sent him an email. He said, no, I mean telnet to port 25 and give the HELO. And I was like, he's using actual SMTP protocol commands to send his messages. And I said, well, that's pretty amazing. I've only done that like once or twice to debug something.
Yeah, I've done it for testing, and it's not like I sit there and go, let me send an email to Chuck.
Exactly. He said his school or something blocks a lot of the clients, but he sometimes gets around it that way.
Oh, sure. Hey, there's always a way.
Great hack. I love it. If you've got any tech secrets or like anything like that that you'd like to pass along, voicemail or email or any which way, let us know. And
or SMTP.
SMTP. Telnet to port 25.
Yeah. At smtp.chuckchat.com.
That's pretty good. Now, on with the news. You found an iTunes for the Pocket PC?
Well, never really found it. This guy's been talking about it, and he showed pictures of it. It looks like iTunes on a regular desktop or your Windows or Mac or whatever, but the interface is like pared down, and it's all on, fits on the Pocket PC screen. It was actually on like a T-Mobile phone, like PDA / phone.
Yep.
And it looked great. I was amazed how much it looked like the regular iTunes interface, but instead of having, how you have your playlists on one side and then you have your music on the other, it was just like the music part, and it's kind of thin. It looked fantastic. It said it synced up with podcasts perfectly. No Bonjour, so I guess you can't really listen, or at least at that moment, you can't really listen to other shared music libraries, which would be too cool.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, I was like salivating over that when I saw it. I was like, I want to get that. And I'm sure I know there's a lot of other people wanting the same thing, so I don't know.
You don't want to have to buy a rocker phone to get that functionality. The nice thing about the rocker phone is it's got that magic button. But, heck, if it's got the a Palm or an MS Mobile interface, I can hit an icon just as easily.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. It looked great. And he said it was at version 0.9. And the way he was talking, it was pretty bug-free, except for when he tried to hit the music store. He said it crashed on him, but, of course, it's not finished yet.
Did he say what model of hardware he was running it on?
It's just a Windows Mobile 5.
Okay.
It
didn't say whether it was... it didn't say what type of PDA or phone or anything it was on?
No, it usually... Well, the... Like my Dell Axum and a lot of the smartphones...
Yeah.
They're are pretty close. They're pretty similar. So, I mean, if it's going, you can get Windows Mobile on one. You can run the apps from one or the other. Processors do vary, but other than that, you can, you know, as long as it's running Windows Mobile 5. It's like a dot. It uses a .NET type architecture. I forget what it is called for the Pocket PC, but it's a, you install it and use, it's like the .NET framework for Pocket PCs, and that's what it was written in.
I'll tell you later. I'm coming to a What the Chuck segment in the show,
okay.
And this has me thoroughly intrigued, and I'll tell you why when we get there.
Yeah,
but let's move on. You found
speaking of my Pocket PC. I found this cool little app. Anybody else that has a Pocket PC, you may already know about it, but for some reason I didn't see this anywhere until today. It buried in a post at axumsite.com. But there's a program called Magic Button for the Pocket PC. You install it, and at the top where you're running the app, across the top, there's the title bar for, you know, the application, just like in any other, like on any PC. But on the Pocket PC, which is kind of annoying, when I close an application, it doesn't necessarily close the application. It, like, minimizes it. So if I have Windows Media Player open, God forbid, and I go to close, it looks like it closed. Like, I hit the X in the top.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is minimized. It's still running. Which I don't know why on God's green earth they did that. You know, I want to close an app. I don't want to just minimize it. Because eventually you have a bunch of apps running and, you know, it'd eat up all your memory. So this Magic Button adds the ability to close all these applications and gives you across the title bar across the top, shows all the icons for all the applications that are running, so you can easily flip between them. It's a very cool app. Also has a battery indicator that's, you know, shows accurate, how far along your battery is. It's a very nice little app. Free. Can't beat that.
No, free is good.
Yes, I like free.
I heard another guy on a podcast say, if it's free, it's me. If I pay, no way.
I think that's our motto here.
close. Yeah. Now, Google TV.
Yeah. I was reading that they've actually struck a deal with, well, let me back up. You know they got that video search coming. And you started seeing some glimmer of that. Have you looked at that at all?
No.
Well, they've had a video search for, I think they've been working on it for the last year. But
is that kind of like PodScope is to podcasts?
Yeah, where actually you can, that's about the same way. They index all the speech in the shows, and you can search and find the videos and play them. And they have an application at the time that was using, like, the Videoland client.
Mm-hmm.
But they hacked it up a little bit so they would play videos from Google. And now it looks like they're using Flash to play those videos at Google, which is really nice because there's no application to install. You just play it in your browser.
Nice.
But I went and I watched. They cut a deal with, I forget the network, but it was a UPN show. It was called Everybody Hates Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chris Rock.
Yep.
And I watched the whole, it was like a 20-minute show, I said 21 minutes, I think. I watched the whole thing, and they're cutting some deals with the BBC, possibly, to get some of their content on there. And I think they're working on a pay-for service, from what I understand from the article I read, where if somebody in the UK wants to watch something that was in the US, they can pay a little bit for this pay-for site and actually watch shows from the US, and I assume vice versa.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, is there a revenue stream there?
Well, yeah, I mean, if...
Are they running ads?
Oh, there wasn't any ads on this one, no.
Okay.
Not this time. I think in the near future they're going to do that. But this show was ad-free, watched the whole thing, and was like, well, that's pretty cool. So, you can't download the shows or anything, because it's using the Flash player, so...
Hmm.
But, give it time. Somebody.
So it's not quite like vidcasting or podcasting for video yet?
No, you don't actually download the thing. Like I said, you ever watched a video with a Flash player?
I don't think I have.
Well, it's just embedded, it's embedded in your browser and you can watch video.
Oh, okay. Well, much like the web stream is right now.
Yeah,
then.
Or iFilms or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't use Flash, but, it's that kind of thing where it's embedded in your browser.
Okay.
So, it was cool. I sat there and watched that, and they got some other shows coming, so that'd be something to watch.
We're going to have a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't need to say that anymore.
Yeah, it all, just assume it's there.
Everything's going to have a link in the show notes. Yeah. We should make the list shorter. We'll say we won't have a link in the show notes right here.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't do one.
All right. On with Google. You also found that Google Wi-Fi is in New York.
Yeah, remember they were doing the big splash the other week where they had the encryption, the encryption client that would kind of wrap around whatever connection you had to encrypt your data from your machine over a Wi-Fi point to Google server, the Google VPN.
Really? I must have missed that.
Yeah, it was the Google VPN, and they had where you download the application, kind of like Google Talk or something, that sits down in your tray, and it encrypts your data going through their server as a proxy, so that way you're on a Wi-Fi network, your data's encrypted. Well, they had been rolling out some Wi-Fi in San Francisco, some of their big Wi-Fi network that they purchased. They've got a lot of dark fiber out there that they've purchased.
I heard that. I heard they had a huge infrastructure out there, and Everybody's wondering, what are they doing? I mean, you got to remember, this company's only 7 years old, and they started out as a search engine, and that's all they were thought of for the first 4.5 years.
Oh, yeah. So they're making some inway. Now, I also heard that I think it's in New York, there's a big telecom hotel that they purchased a lot of space in, and like the big boys, everybody from Sprint to you name them, are all in that hotel. So that's a good place for them to jack in these other networks, especially for Google Talk, because Google Talk's also rumored to be looking at VoIP, to tie into SIP accounts and whatnot.
Oh, I hope they do.
Yeah, but getting back to what we were saying, that somebody had pictures in New York at, is it Bryant Park is what I said? Bryant Park, they had a picture of a placard that said that the Wi-Fi brought to you by Google. So, something to watch. Google's really getting out there. I mean, I like Google. I like them, better than some of the other big companies. So we'll see how they're going to turn out.
Are they still selling those Google search appliances for corporate infrastructure?
Yeah, actually, they are. They have a Google Mini now, which is a smaller version.
Do you know anybody who's bought one of those?
No. I looked at one time, but I didn't pursue talking to my boss about it. But so I don't know what the whole deal is with those. No, I don't know anybody that's purchased one. I'm sure there are people that I have.
I was just curious. I was thinking about that the other day when they said they're 7 years old. I went, well, what else have they had? And then I went, oh, yeah, remember those? Wonder why we never bought one.
It's like a big, blade-looking server. It's yellow.
Yeah, it's like the ones that I saw were like 1U units that you put in. You basically put it on your network.
Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, it's like yellow. It's like god-awful yellow. Canary yellow.
Don't have a hard time finding that in the rack.
Yeah. Let's see, where's that Google server? Is this it? It's the big yellow one.
the yellow server. Call it Tweety Bird or something.
Yeah.
Okay, Time Warner. It's back to iTunes again. Seems like everything these days is Apple, Google, or Microsoft.
Or AOL.
We'll keep running around that tree for a while.
Yeah.
Time Warner.
Yeah.
Next article. Time Warner is raising the specter of killing iTunes. You put it in here. I don't know what it's about yet.
Yeah, Time Warner was raising the specter of killing off iTunes, decapitating them, they said. Which, I don't know. I just don't think some of these record companies, they obviously just don't get it. This whole online purchasing, downloading music.
They're really talking like idiots.
Because they're talking about, well, if Apple's so headstrong on sticking with this one-tier pricing instead of the multi-tier like they want, they're going to pull the rug out from under iTunes is what they're saying.
You think about it, and the reason that record stores, I heard an analogy to this. I think I was listening to CNET Buzz Out Loud today, and they were talking about this. They said record stores used to sell things at different tiered pricing. And the reason is because they had an inventory to carry. I mean, if you're Wayne Newton CDs aren't selling so hot. You have a sale on them, and you clear out your inventory. Sure. It's just business. You can sell the hot demand stuff at a higher price. Well, there is no inventory when you're talking about online sales. They're just trying to gouge people to get more money for the popular songs.
And I'm not buying any crap that they come out with nowadays.
No. Steve Jobs is, you know, for once you go, wow. He's finally got a, I mean, not finally, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's dug in his heels. He's saying, no way. We're not making two-tier pricing so you can get more money. As I understand it, 70 cents out of every dollar goes back to the record company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, so why do you need any more money? You're just being greedy. And he's saying, I'm not doing it, and that's that. So what are they going to do? They're just not getting the fact that this is the online age. This is how music, it's proven itself. This is how it's going to be distributed.
Well, you know, there's even in this article, it says iTunes even keeps they only keep 4 cents of every 99 cent download. I mean, come on. I mean, if you think about it, they got to pay bandwidth costs, marketing costs. You know,
oh, heck yeah. Who's running their infrastructure? Akamai?
I don't know. But they got to provide this content. They have people hired to aggregate this stuff, and they got servers and bandwidth. So,
and the one guy who takes care of all the podcast listings.
Yeah, the one guy.
The one guy who's usually a few months behind. But
where's the beef?
You don't think I forgot about those little sore spots, do you?
Let it go, Chuck. It's over. But I don't know. I don't know. I just think, man, the record companies. Look at them. The other day, they got turned down by a judge for trying to sue the mother of a 13-year-old who was file sharing. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it. I heard about it. You've jogged my memory, but I don't remember all the details.
Yeah, what did they call it? They settled the case with prejudice, or whatever. They threw out the case with prejudice, so they can't take it to another appeals court.
Really?
Yeah, because they kept saying. The judge said that they couldn't sue the mother because of what this 13-year-old was doing.
And, actually, you can. You can, you know, but they escaped.
They said they for whatever reason they didn't. And then the record industry, RIA guys, they put in a motion to sue the 13-year-old with a guardian ad litem. It's like, come on, just let it go, man.
Yeah.
Like, they are hurting for cash.
I think they're just trying to make an example out of everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, there's probably some examples to be made, but come on. It's a 13-year-old, man.
Yeah, well, I don't know. When I was 13, I did stupid stuff, too. But at least my parents didn't get sued for it.
Yeah. Good thing they didn't.
All right. What else did you find? I see two more in here. Did you talk about the magic button?
Yes. And over at Mike Tech Show, I haven't subscribed to that show. Have you listened to Mike Tech Show?
Yes, I have. I haven't listened to that one in a while. There are a few shows that I am way behind. That one, Christian Stout, HomeNetworkHelp.info. Mike Tech Show is also a partner or member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Hmm. Well, you know, he had put up a zip file available for download at his website. That in the zip file is a bunch of applications that you can throw on your thumb drive. They do not require installation to run, including Firefox, FileZilla for FTP.
Didn't somebody already do this, though?
I don't know if I want to say he did it. He put it together, but they've been talking about all these applications that can run.
Well, yeah, he put this together, but I know we were thinking about doing this for our Road Warriors. Just hand them a thumb drive and keep their hard drives nice and clean. Say, here, when you get to a customer site or something, all you've got is your thumb drive. Plug it into their machine. Not only is there Firefox, but there's also your email client. And just give them a way to go.
Did you work there? You were talking about doing that?
Yeah, I work.
But just go download the zip file.
Well, I've heard it being done before. Hey, that's why I was kind of surprised.
Project done.
he got digged on this as well.
Yeah, that's where I actually saw it at, and I was like,
yeah, kind of neat when you're going through dig and you go, hey, I know that name.
Yeah, so I went download it, threw it on my thumb drive, and you know, it's pretty cool. It got Firefox, like I said. It had a couple of little gems I hadn't seen before or really messed with. It's pretty nice. Got Adware stuff, spyware stuff, you know, that kind of thing. Adware, you know, that kind of thing.
Nice. Hey, we got to take a little break to get in our other sponsorship ad. We'll be right back. Time is running out. GoDaddy.com is offering $1.99 domain names, transfers, or renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy, but only until October 10th. Each domain name includes complete email, a $9.95 value free. Plus, listeners to this show get an additional 10% off any order. But the $1.99 domain sale expires October 10th, so order now at GoDaddy.com. Just enter TECH3, that's TECH, and the number 3 is your source code.
Chuck Chat Technorama. More fun than a blue screen of death.
All right, we're running right about on time, but we're going to scoot through these last few things.
Should I speed up the speed on it?
Oh, head in reverse.
Thank you, good night.
Now, I think you were the one who told me that BitTorrent got $8.75 million from venture capitalist.
I know. Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
I mean, that, one, who's getting that?
Well, who wrote it?
Bram Cohen, I think his name is. Bram.
Now, are they officially making a business out of this? I mean, is it an LLC or?
Well, I think the big thing is some people are starting to realize the value in sharing, you know, bandwidth like this and for delivery stuff. I mean, look at Linux is a perfect example. Which is today you were looking for a turn for Linux, weren't you?
Yeah.
Did you get it?
I downloaded the install CD for Fedora Core 4, and I downloaded the install CD for Ubuntu 5.10, and also the live CD for Ubuntu 5.10. However, the live CD did not see my nick.
Yeah, the live CDs are always kind of funny. I mean, they may or may not work. Sometimes you have a little better deal with doing an install. Well, yeah, what, a nick in your what? In which one?
The IBM ThinkPad T20.
What kind of network card is it?
It's either an Intel 10100 or a 3COM. I can't remember which. But neither are terribly obscure.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Intel one shouldn't be any problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've had some hit or miss, especially with video, on some of the live CDs. Even from Nopix. I either end up with 640... something like that. But
I may have a spare hard drive. I don't think I want to destroy what's on this one already. And it's, if I remember right, it's getting kind of tight because it's a tiny hard drive in this old machine. So I'm not going to do a dual boot situation. What I may do is just slap in another hard drive. Then I can screw around, and if it doesn't work, I'll just put it back.
Yeah, I've got like a 10 gig laying around exactly just for that. Go. Let's see if it works.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well,
I
was going to say, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to move on to the next article.
Yeah, Skype 1.4 is released today.
Yes, if you don't pay attention, I just happened to need an upgrade because I was using an old machine that resurrected. First time I turned it on in about 3-4 months, and it went, hey, there's new Skype out there. And I went, really? What are we up to now?
There are 300 patches for your Windows ME.
Not quite that bad, but yeah, the little Windows update icon is down there, so I'm probably behind a firewall, so I'm not too bad.
Okay. So you need advice with your Bluetooth advice? I'd say
I have a question for the listener audience out there. I have a Bluetooth phone. I have the Sony Ericsson T637, and I have a Mac PowerBook running Tiger, which has Bluetooth built in. And I have heard people do this, and I don't know how. Somehow they'll be talking on the cell phone, and they go, just a minute, and the audio is coming through their laptop. They'll capture it with Audio Hijack Pro or some other means of getting the audio. I would like to be able to grab that audio off of my phone like that, and I don't know how it's done. It's almost as if...
But you've heard people doing that? You've heard of people capturing the audio off that?
I swear I heard Adam Curry do it right while he was on a podcast. He was talking to somebody on the phone, and he just went, and it was on the machine in real time. If the conceptual idea here is, that's a bit redundant, but you want to turn the computer into a headset so that it hears the sound.
Yeah, and when you said that earlier, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
But I can't find the options quite right in Tiger when you're setting up the device and whatever to make it look like a headset. It has to be done like from the phone to the Mac rather than the other way around or something. If anybody out there has ideas or you're really good at Google and you can find it for me, I would appreciate it because I don't have any phone interviews lined up, but I may shortly. There's a few people in the queue that I'm trying to nail down for interviews, particularly technology interviews, and I'd like to do them through the cell phone or at least compare the quality of Skype out versus recording a cell phone call. That's my plea for help.
Help!
What have you got for online alligators?
Online alligators?
Aggregators.
You know, I've been playing around with
some scripts.
Aggregator. No, I'm not talking about my scripts this time. Well, actually, it's kind of came from that. You know, in blog lines, you know, I really like blog-ons. Blog-ons? It's easy to...
Stop drinking.
Yeah. No. It's easy to add subscriptions and read your news and whatnot. I really like blog lines. I've been using it for, well, over a year now. It's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to think, I saw an article today and they were talking about Rojo. And I was like, what is Rojo? So I started looking around, signed up for a free account, and ported my OPML in it. I like it. However, it's easy to read your news just like blog lines is. Problem is when I flag my messages, ones that I really care about, not ones that, you know, I try to weed out what I want to keep and what I don't. Blog lines, when you do that, you get a feed of the items you clipped. Okay? So I can either do something with that feed, either resubscribe to it or using my scripts imported in my blog or whatever. However, in Rojo, it's more of a social engineering type site, kind of like Dig or not social engineering.
Flickr, that kind of thing.
Social bookmarking site, you know.
Networking, yeah.
Yeah, social networking where, you know, if I see something and I flag it and I want to share it with my friends, it asks for email addresses for my friends. And, of course, if an email gets sent out, then there's invitations for them to sign up. And I'm like, I don't want to do all that because I just want to flag them. Somebody, my friends may subscribe to what I'm flagging and some may not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Rojo was cool. I like the interface. It's more of an Ajax-y feel. It's pretty quick, but I don't know if it's a new winner for me. NewsGator Online, I like, but the interface was just, I don't know. It seemed like I had to jump through hoops like a circus poodle to get to my news feeds. So, and importing my OPML, it was like a little questionable, and then you're like, oh, there's the link, you know, and you go find it and figure it out.
And you're dealing with the Windows side of things right now,
they're
right?
They're all online services.
Okay. I haven't used any of them, so I know the names, but that's about it, because I always get my news through an aggregator client.
Right.
But I like the idea of the social networking thing like Flickr or Dig.
Yeah, and, you know, to a point, that's cool. But, you know, I like... being able to, I guess the big winner for me is I like to be able to read my news from different computers because I got my laptop, I got my Mac at home, and I got another machine at work. So.
Oh, definitely. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like my email. I prefer Gmail because otherwise I got to set up Thunderbird on a million boxes. So.
Yep. Okay. Are you ready? I have a What the Chuck tonight.
Go for it.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Oh, Craig, I had a massive palm seizure again yesterday.
I don't know if I want to hear about this.
I'll make it quick then. I went to sync the palm at home. It reset. Cold reset, lost all my data. I have a backup on the SD card, but it was about a week old, so I restored that. And then I synced at work, which, of course, deleted a few things. I pulled those out of Outlook's deleted items, resolved all the conflicts, and thought I was good to go. When I got back home, I synced again, and it said, you've got category conflicts, because I use categories a lot. I keep my personal and my business stuff separate so that I can print a calendar at home that doesn't have my business stuff on it.
Sure.
The category said, you've got two categories that are case insensitive that say anniversary. I'm like, you lie, you lie, you lie. They do not. You have to go into Outlook, delete all the categories out of the master category list, rename the offending category in both places, Palm and Outlook, then resync, then fix the names. I got those all fixed for the calendar, and then it comes up and says, you've got category conflicts in the contacts. And I went, too bad. I don't care about my contacts right now. It's just really frustrating because this happens every couple of months. It just goes cold reboot, hard reset, all data lost about once every couple of months. And I can't spend a half a day every couple of months just babysitting my data. It's just getting really frustrating. So I seriously doubt whether my next PDA will be a Palm. I like the interface. I like the simplicity. It's fewer clicks to get a lot of places and do a lot of things, but I just can't take this anymore.
Fix it.
Yeah, well, if the Palm accidentally gets destroyed...
Hey, Bob.
Well, it's my PDA. It's not Bob's. It's not Works. It's mine. So... my gadget budget, as you probably already guessed from podcasting, is already stretched to the limits.
Yeah. What kind of PDA can you get for a couple bucks?
A couple of bucks. eBay.
Hey, I got a Sharp Zaurus for you.
I have a Sharp Zaurus. Yep. A really old one, the clamshell kind, the 5700 that runs its own old OS. I think I threw out all the floppies that had the software on it, so I can't use Zcalc anymore.
I was gonna say, man, that's an old PDA. It's got a floppy drive.
No. It's got like a 2 meg SRAM card for expanded storage. It's really a lovely piece of work.
Now I got a Sharp Zaurus 5500. You know, runs Linux.
How do you like that? How did it work out for you?
I liked it a lot. Leaved a little bit to be desired for the battery life, especially if you're using a Wi-Fi card. But as far as the unit itself, it was pretty good. There's a lot of free software out there for it. It's not too bad.
It's cool.
Maybe we'll talk about that in another show.
Yeah, we could probably do a PDA review.
Sure.
You know who we should get in is Bob. He's got PDA of the week.
Yeah.
Right now, he's on a motion tablet PC right now.
Oh, really?
I think he still has his Tungsten T5. Yeah.
How's that working out?
What, the tablet?
Yeah, the tablet. Mm-hmm.
Tablet's working out great. Loves it. It's not as obnoxious in a meeting as a full-scale laptop, but yet you can still do reasonable work on it as opposed to a PDA. It's something you could. He actually does read email and pull up Word documents, and we were sitting in a meeting. He said, how many copies of that document do you want? So he went and printed it out. Well, to the wrong printer, but he printed it out. And it didn't take up the table space. He was just kind of working off his lap very discreetly. It wasn't this big, open notebook.
Looks like he's got a notebook sitting in his lap or something or whatever.
No, it's not even the size of a notebook. It's about maybe 8 inches by 6 inches.
Oh, really?
Tiny little thing.
Huh.
Yeah, 800 by 600 resolution, so it's reasonable.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on and talk about that. He just got it up to the point where all the tweaks and utilities and things are in, so he's really happy with it. You know, when you first get a machine and it's anemic, you got to beef it up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, we promised the listener a way to find out how they can qualify for show number 50 contest giveaway stuff, so here we go. Just a reminder that Technorama is coming up on show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool stuff, and you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win. To enter, head over to ChuckChat.com and sign up for the announcements mailing list to qualify for the prize drawings we'll be doing on show number 50. The mailing lists are on the left side of the main page at www.ChuckChat.com. Don't delay, sign up today. I want to give a special thanks to the people who have donated prizes to that giveaway so far. Citrix GoToMeeting has a one-year subscription. That's a $468 value. These are all U.S. dollar values, of course. Tim Berkwin from the Portable Media Expo has donated a full pass. That's the kind where you get to go to all the seminars, not just the floor pass.
It's cool.
$249 value there. Todd Cochran's given us a book. Evoterra has promised us a book, which will be coming out shortly. I don't know if we'll have it by the time the contest is actually run, but he promises that he can swing one this way. And we've got many more prizes in the works. We are just tramping things down. Also, on a similar note, John Chambers from the 1 Minute Tip, he's also a member of the techpodcast.com network. He's got his show number 100 coming, and he's got a giveaway also. So if you're interested, it's a short little podcast. Good thing about computer tips and tricks, mostly Mac-based. It's found at 1MinuteTip.com.
It's a short podcast. The title says
it's
it all.
It's a short podcast. It's the 1 Minute Tip, but I think he's got to have a couple of meetings in there for GoDaddy and whatnot, so it's not exactly 1 minute anymore.
Right.
Would you like to take us out of here at 46 minutes?
Let's go.
Okay, now.
Oh, yeah, me. Oh, and put this on your calendars. Sunday, Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page comes back and talks to us about the movie Serenity, which comes out Friday. The listener line is 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com, or you can email me, Craig, at chuckchat.com. You can visit our website at chuckchat.com. Don't forget to go sign up for the mailing list for your chance to get in on the cool swag we got for show number 50 coming up.
Just a tip, there are three mailing lists there. One is for the Freestyle Show, one is for the Technorama Show, and those are interactive mailing lists. However, the one for the announcements is the one you want to sign up for. That's the one where only I publish something and you get it. Ah. I am not abusing these, and the email addresses are confidential and not given away. So if you're leery about that, don't be. It's all in good confidence. I am only doing this to grow the show. Tell a friend about Technorama if you can. Wherever you are, there you go. Wait a minute. You're the one with the words of wisdom. What is it this time, oh sage?
I need another beer.
That's it? That's your words of wisdom?
Beer is good.
Okay. Until next time, thanks for listening. Binary High Five.
101.
See that the humans remain entertained until the end.